4JBQ04NUE.
NUE KK4JBQ. Hello, hello.
You sound excited. Do you have a good day today?
Back home. Need I say more?
That's good. That's good. Did she have a good trip?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had a good trip, and she can't keep from talking about it, which is just fine by me. She had a great time. And I think perhaps because she's now a certified trainer, I'll see some more of this, I guess.
Good deal. Well, I need to let you go.
No, I'm here for the duration. Drug overdose. not illicit drugs, but drugs that she accepted from other people, pain medications and things like that. She was in pain and taking drugs that aren't prescribed for you will give you more pain, don't you know? And, well, the relationship we had was not one where she was given to reach out to me. I wasn't her person, so to speak. And I think one of our cousins was. He's someone I don't know very well, but at the funeral he spoke about having her ear and vice versa. And he would listen to her troubles, you know. Maybe a little bit envious, to tell you the truth. But it was just such a shock. She died in her sleep. And it was a massive organ failure, as the autopsy finally proved. A youngster, and I diapered that child. And we didn't have a live-in caregiver, you know, of any sort. I looked after her. And, well, I was 13 when she was born. And we just grew apart, you know. 5 years later, when I was 18, I left home. Had to break the apron strings and travel the country and didn't get back home very often. When I did, it was for a short time. So we just didn't have an opportunity to make the bonds and, you know. So family reunions make me bittersweet, I guess. KK4JBQ.
No, I get it. I mean, we do twice a year, Christmas and then Easter, you know. I think Easter was just real exciting for me, Mom. Because you get all the family together and Meemaw's a real religious woman, and you know, it's a big day she'd like to celebrate. And so anyway, after that we came home and then had had our, you know, the kids. We're starting now that they've moved out. We're starting our own family routine, I guess, here, since Meemaw's passed away. So we just gonna have kids here, and with, you know, whatever comes with all that, eventually grandkids, I guess. But so that was good. And then I had a friend stop by this morning. He brought his two grandsons over, and they were, you know, interested in some welding. I think one of the young men he's experimenting with welding machine and this, that, and the other. So we spent some time with them, and it was good to fellowship with them and all. So it was a good day. It's all good. I'm tired, but it was good Easter. Had some good food, and we got to spend time with the family too. So that's all good.
That's the definition of all good. Family. I think we were given families. If we can possibly manage it, we were given families to bless us. Families are a blessing. But so many get so broken. I think it may be in many cases. It's because we don't acknowledge just how blessed we are. And you were three times blessed with children, and now the years ahead of you will be full of events that fathers get to see. They get to become grandfathers. And when you're breathing your last, they'll be around you. And it's a marvelous thing. Families are just the best thing. KK4JBQ.
Individual, and he's a savant
he's so intelligent in some areas, you know, and that's a blessing. I mean, I couldn't tell you, now that my memory is going a little bit, as well as eyesight and other things, you know, it breaks down over time. Everything does. But his memory is astounding, and well, it's in something that I'm interested in too. I even asked him about the Westcar's repeater, and I thought I had the right frequency, the right offset, and the right tone. I just ran it by him, and he says, "Well, maybe you couldn't reach it because of you know, what's between you and the repeater." I really didn't know where the repeater was. So there you go. I can't raise that repeater. Anyway, he's a wealth of knowledge. KK4JBQ.
You're exactly right. And I know why outlets are at 18 inches of height. And why that's in the code book. It's helpful to have a father-in-law and a brother-in-law that are architects. So they are at that height because if a flammable liquid is spilled and a vapor moves across the floor, typically the vapor will not reach the height of 18 inches before it dissipates. And the only cost for that is that if it does, it collects one big bomb. So that was what I was told, why it's that high off of the floor. And you're right, that's right at a child's length, reach, about 18 inches. But that's what I was told. I guess the second thing is, yeah, there's 1-220 drop, putting 1-220 drop on the west wall. I can't really afford an amplifier. You know, saving up so that when I do, I want to get what I want. I don't want to just settle. So I'm saving things up so I can try to get what I want and put in it. I don't know that I hadn't done the math or anything, but I'm not sure 110 would work. But something tells me that it might not work well. I don't know, but. So, you're right, I got a drop in there for that. And, let's see, what else? You're right. I don't consult repeater book anymore. Every time I go to repeater book, it's got some latency to it to try to pull the information I need. I just ask Andy. And that's, you know, Andy is the Google of radio frequencies. Anything you want to know about a repeater or a frequency, just Andy it.
As far as knowledge is concerned, Andy was able to discern a factor that repeater book does not consider. It'll tell you the distance between your Q2H and the repeater, but not what is between the two of you. And that's the first thing Andy jumped on. I did go to repeater book and looked for it. I specified 50 miles. So I couldn't find it. That might insinuate that it's more than 50 miles away. Come to think of it. But anyway, I think I mentioned to you in an earlier conversation that I lost everything in this radio by pressing buttons in a panic. You should never do that. I mean, if there are 14 buttons on a radio, you shouldn't just press them all in different combinations to see if maybe you can get back the simplest stuff that's in there, because it'll lock up. It will lock up solid. And mine did, so I had to reset it. Thankfully, I had that little, what's it called? That little handy manual, which gave me very clearly what the reset combination of buttons is. It's only a two-button press. But anyhow, I don't know. I've been up there at, I forget now, where is Waynesville, maybe? I've been at their ham fest twice. But I wasn't driving at the time. And so I paid no attention to how long we had been driving or how far we had driven. Yeah, so it could be more than 50 miles, real easy.
Six-in-one. It looks like a very complicated
putty knife, you know, and that's one of the functions it has. But I was shopping for one because I didn't have one, and I used what we all go to, and I found that there are some 12-in-1s. And they got everything, including screwdrivers, in that multi-tool, you know. But anyway, I decided that a 6-in-1 was plenty, and since I've got it, I haven't used it. Now there's the killer right there. It gets lost because of its size and shape and everything. It gets lost in the bottom of the toolbox. It's a truism, and Donna gave it to me. She likes a purse with compartments. And I says, honey, what? You got like 12 zippers in that purse. Inside pockets, outside pockets, you know, and it's like a filing cabinet. And she says, well, yeah, maybe it is. But I don't like a purse. It's just a dump. And then I started thinking, I've got 12 toolboxes here. That's the honest truth. I've got 12 toolboxes on two floors and a garage. And every one of them is a dump. Some of them are satchel-like, and some of them are box-like. Some of them have locks, and some don't, you know, all that stuff. But still, the very thing you're looking for is underneath everything else. You do know what I mean.
Right. I get it. Careful in UE. I've got some bunch of tools down there. They're like that. And I've got some pretty special tools down there in my toolbox. I guess mentors have passed along to me, and I keep those in a special drawer, and I use them, but I don't abuse them. You know, I got other tools that, you know, I can be rough with, but, you know, I do finish work or something like that just to, well, hey, I think I'll use this that Barney gave me this years ago, and then that's just, you know, an opportunity for me to think about him for a little bit for the day and that kind of stuff. You know, I know it sounds a little corny, but I don't know, I'm just that way, I guess. But, you know, having the right tool matters. It matters a lot, and there's a place for, you know, harbor freight, and there's a place for spirit. They can't stay in the same drawer together now. Not in my mind, anyway. But you know what I mean, right?
I know what you mean. And to put it in a slightly different context, we all have chisels that we open paint cans with. And we don't care if it's sharp. But then some folks have chisels that they use 12 different stones of different gradations of fineness to get it as sharp as, you know, as sharp as a cold wind. And those are tools that require special respect, you know. Some people have tools that require respect, and some people don't. And that's why not everybody handles your tools and shouldn't, you know. KK4JBQ.
Right. I got one of the toolboxes down there I keep locked. That's the same way. He's got a toolbox down there that he, I don't know where, keys don't matter, you know. Like man's toolbox is, you know, common. I guess for a man earns a living with his hands, it's a little bit more than just tools, toolbox, you know. So that's got, I don't know how many toolboxes we got down there, but he's got one. I think he let me look in it one time when I was, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And I got one that's the same way down in the shop. And we don't ask. You know, that's my space. He's got his. And I don't, you know, maybe one I'll get to go through it. Not today.
Today it'll be yours, I suppose, and that's when you. Well, but I hope. Well, I'm pretty sure because you're kind of in the same mindset as your dad, so you won't look at it and wonder, what did this do? Why was this special? That, you know, things like that. And I suppose if I, whoever, I told Donna, now this is really off the topic, but it just popped into my head. I told her once not that long ago, I says, you know, Donna, when I pass away, you should probably just take all my stuff and put it at the curb. People do troll around neighborhoods and they see things stacked up and waiting for the trash person, but don't put it out on trash day. Put it out before then so that people who might want to rummage through it and pick out something, they can have their choice. Maybe it'll go, something will go to somebody who can use it, because she wouldn't know what she's looking at, you know. And I don't earn a living anymore from the tools that I know how to use. It's a sad thing, but it is what it is. And it's one of those things in life that is a paradox. I don't have anyone to hand down the tools to and stuff like that, but you do. And so that's just one of the blessings that's forthcoming when you have children. There are other blessings, and I hope that it will be soon that you'll realize those too. You know I do.
I understand. But, at any rate, I was going to let you know, I think we found an issue with what's going on with Perry's hands. I think he's got some small holes in his gloves, and I think some of the detergent that he was using has gotten into the gloves, and they're plastic latex gloves. And, you know, you get your hands in those things, it's kind of hard to tell whether it's sweat or, you know, the actual chemical or whatnot. So we're gonna change the gloves out and see if that corrects what's going on. But I sent you a picture. I don't know if you got it or not, but he's starting to clear up a little bit. I'm a little bit relieved about that.
Got the picture, and it looked like well, we talked about the skin being the first line of defense for the rest of the organs in the body. We talked about that. But there is a well-known cause. It applies to a lot of different things, and I think including this, called contact contamination. You know, when you and I were kids, maybe siphoning gas, did you ever take a sip of that gasoline? I'm just flashing back now. So once I was siphoning gas what was I doing? I think I was mowing the lawn. And I got put to work mowing the lawn before I could actually push the mower. And we never had a rider, so, you know, it was a 20-inch push mower, just, you know, almost a toy compared to what people call a lawnmower today. But anyway, I was siphoning gas to put in that thing, and it got in my throat. It got in my sinuses. Because I guess it was pressure in the can or something. I took a little draw on it, and I maybe drew on that hose a little longer than I should. I'll never forget how that felt. Oh, my goodness. But it didn't stay. I was real busy right after that getting it out of me. And it's a good thing, because the longer anything stays in contact with you, your insides, your even your outsides, your skin, the more damage it can do. And so, in as much as he wears gloves, if the gloves are not replaced in a timely way, you know, like annually at least, I don't know what's a good rotation for that. And gloves are part of the equipment, right? So, when do you change them out, because it's just best for you to keep that contact contamination down, you know. Well, if it's clearing up, that's an awfully good thing. When things turn worse, you know, you just don't know what you're in for when things like that turn worse. KK4 JBQ.
KK4 NUE. So yeah. We'll see how it goes, but I mean, it's starting to clear up, I guess. But, I guess that's that. But something else I was going to tell you, too, and kind of slipped my mind, I guess. I guess it'll come to me in a minute. But, anyway, so, I think Anna and I are going to have opened Space A privileges back up with the Air Force. So, I think she's going to take off next week, and we're going to go down to the Air Force terminal and hop on whatever cargo plane going wherever and just go. So I don't know where we'll end up. Last time we got dropped off in Hawaii. They were on the way to Wake Island to do some, I don't know, we rode in the cargo hangar with the kids with some kind of missiles going to Wake Island, but they didn't have any. There's no warheads on them, anything. But, well, I don't know where we'll end up. Maybe I'll let you know, though. But we're gonna give it a shot. We've been to, let me let my radio drop, Larry. United Kingdom, Alaska. Go down to terminal and say, hey, you know, what you got going where? And you might have to fly with, you know, a bunch of parts or whatever's on the plane, you know. But you have to sit in the cargo net the whole time. But I mean, the whole cargo holds to yourself, and you get them walk around, you know, do whatever you want. So we're gonna try to make it to Germany and see how that goes. But I'll let you know the specifics when we get closer.
Be an exciting, almost like a magical mystery tour. Remember the song? Yeah, just to take a roll of the dice. That must be a special kind of freedom feeling, you know, to just do that because you can. But you'll be the same when you get there. And my dad, he bless his heart. Well, his heart's all gone now because he's been gone a while. Bless his soul. He never wanted to go anywhere. He really didn't. And I questioned him once, and we were in a serious conversation at the time, and he took me seriously. I says, why is it you really don't want to travel? You don't want to... He says, well, I can't bring it back. Now, of course, he's overlooking a lot of things, you know, like cameras, but he never... I don't think my dad ever took a picture in his life. And experiences, new people he met, things like that, he was, you know, he was completely overlooking those factors when he said, I just don't want to go anywhere because I can't bring it back. I had been to Niagara Falls. I'm not well traveled myself, but I had been there on the Canadian side and ate at the Queen's restaurant or whatever it is there on the other side. Real fancy, beautiful spot with the falls in sight. I did bring that back. I will never forget how it felt to stand at the, you know, on the Canadian side, they have observation points where you can be very near the water as it falls. And I'll never forget looking at that volume of water and realizing in that moment, it shocked me that this has been going on for thousands of years. That volume of water falling over this, cascading over for thousands of years. That I will always remember. My dad had a good mind up until the end. Something he could hold in his hand was more important, I guess. I never felt that way. So you go and have yourself just one marvelous time and bring it all back. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, well, we're gonna try. See how it works out, I guess. But other than that, I guess that's all I got on this end. Just try to do a little bit more on the house shack tomorrow. I'm getting down to the details, which takes forever. It's very frustrating. You know, I know in my mind what I want, but just can't get my hands to work fast enough. And just have to take my time with it, I guess. But that comes with it. And not to mention the insulation. I hate that stuff. Yes, I hate it. It's just itching and burning and just, oh, I can't stand it. But it's gotta be done. So just suck it up, buttercup. Just get it done, I guess. But anyway. anyway, tell Miss Donna tomorrow that I'm glad she had a good trip, and, you know, I know you're glad she's home. And tell her we said hello. So with that, I'll just tell his cable 4 NUE. I'll be clear on your final, Larry.
Okay, well, it's mighty fine to talk with you. Oh, I should probably mention that, yes, I can recall that you checked in tonight, but it was after Gary had already checked in, and I wondered if you had been around when he did. It was marvelous, just, you know, considering what he's been through, it was marvelous to hear his voice on the radio. That was a mighty fine thing. And then another thing I thought of was, as far as insulation goes, it doesn't have to be itchy. That expanding foam insulation goes on, that's quick. And there's a little dressing up, you know, trimming back, because it expands right out of the cavity, you know. And you have to go through and trim it back, but it is solid, and no drafts are possible. Anyhow, Don and I watch a lot of this old house and ask this old house. We see a lot of construction and witness some really fine trades people, plumbing, electrical, construction. It all goes in there. I don't use any of that information, but I do respect people who can build a house, or a room for that matter. Maybe even attempt to do it. It's a kind of a marvelous thing to be able to add on to your house the way you are. Yeah, so anyhow, it's after midnight, so you take care. Get yourself plenty of sleep. You need it for all you put yourself through. And we'll talk with you again when we can. KK4JBQ, I am clear.